Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhu Para, Prabhu Para, Jaya Prabhu Para, Prabhu Para. Prabhu Para, Prabhu Para, Prabhu Para, Jaya Prabhu Para. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today's reading is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, Texts Number 3 and 4. So I'll do number 3 and then we'll all do number 4 together. Dhenu nanyute prada vipravya samalankrite tiladrim satta ratnaubha shatakambham bhambaravritam. Text number 4. Just now coming. There you go. Kalina snana shauchavyam.
Kalina snana shauchavyam.
Samskara istapasejaya.
Samskara istapasejaya.
Is that the right verse? It looks like text 4. Is it? That's correct? Okay, good. It's fine. That's it. Okay, that's 4 and 5. Correct.
Yeah, 3 and 4.
Right. Correct. Thank you. Okay, let's start over. Kalina snana shauchavyam.
Kalina snana shauchavyam.
Samskara istapase jaya. Shudyanti dana santushtya. Dravyanya atmatma vidyaya. Kalina snana shauchavyam. Samskara istapasejaya. Shudyanti dana santushtya. Dravyanya atmatma vidyaya. Kalina snana shauchavyam. Samskara istapasejaya. Shudyanti dana santushtya. Dravyanya atmatma vidyaya.
Kalina snana shauchavyam. Sarvena Snana Shaucharya
Samskaray Sapase Jaya
Shujyanti Dhanay Santushya
Vrayam
Yatmatma Vidyaya
Kalena
Snana Shaucharya
Samskara
Istapase Jaya
Shujyanti
Dhanay Santushya
Vrayam Yatmatma Vidyaya
Kalena Snana Shaucharya
Samskara
Istapase Jaya
Shujyanti
Dhanay Santushya
Ladies, Matajis.
Kalena Snana Shaucharyam.
Kalena Snana Shaucharyam.
Samskara
Istapase Jaya.
Shudyanti
Dhanay Santushya.
Dharyani
Atmatma Vidyaya.
Word for word. Kalena, by due course of time, the land and other material things become purified.
Snana
Shauchabhyam,
by bathing, the body becomes purified. And by cleansing, unclean things become purified.
Samskarai,
by purificatory processes, birth becomes purified.
Tapasa,
by austerity, the senses become purified.
Ijaya,
by worship, the brahmanas become purified.
Shudyanti,
become purified.
Dhanai,
by charity, wealth becomes purified.
Santushtya,
by satisfaction, the mind becomes purified.
Dravyani,
all material possessions such as cows, land, and gold.
The soul becomes purified.
Atma Vidyaya,
by self-realization.
Now Madan Mohan Prabhu will give the class at last moment. He's always prepared, so it's good.
Start with the translation of text 3 and then text 4 in the purport. Okay. Text 3 was Nanda Maharaj gave 2 million cows completely decorated with cloth and jewels in charity to the Brahmins. He also gave them 7 hills of grains covered with jewels and with cloth decorated with golden embroidery. Text 4. O King, by the passing of time, land and other material possessions are purified. by bathing, the body is purified. By being cleansed, unclean things are purified. By purificatory ceremonies, birth is purified. By austerity, the senses are purified. And by worship and charity offered to the Brahmins, material possessions are purified. By satisfaction, the mind is purified. And by self-realization or Krishna consciousness, the soul is purified. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. These are Shastric injunctions concerning how one can purify everything according to Vedic civilization. Unless purified, anything we use will infect us with contamination. And I'll read that sentence one more time. Unless purified, anything we use will infect us with contamination. In India, 5,000 years ago, even in the villages such as that of Nanda Maharaj, people knew how to purify things, and thus they enjoyed even material life without contamination. Om Ajnanam Timriyandasya Janasalakaya Chaksusmaditanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Sarito Pangur Mamamanda Matirgati Mat Sarvasva Padambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano Jai Shri Prabhupada. These verses are so wonderful. But specifically here, it gives us an opportunity to consider this process that we're undergoing in Krishna consciousness. Here, I was thinking of Bhagavad Gita 18.5 was the first verse that popped into my mind. It says, acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. Does that fit? Here we have, you can't get a greater soul, Nanda Maharaj, and he's performing all these activities. So when I was thinking about this purification process, I was thinking what it is that we're becoming purified of. What is the contamination of this material world that is lurking at every moment in our mind, in our senses, in everything we do and use? What is that that has to be purified? And thought of the second chapter of the Bhagavatam. I think it starts around 16 or 17 and it ends around 20, 21, like that. And it mentions about if one engages in devotional service, then he becomes purified of passion and ignorance, the three modes of material nature. So then I thought of, there's a nice verse in the beginning of chapter 14 that's entitled The Modes of Material Nature. And it starts off with, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, there you go. Now you can't get better than that. Again, I should declare to you the supreme wisdom. Okay, so that's a superlative on wisdom. Supreme wisdom. Best of all knowledge. There's another superlative. Best of all knowledge. By knowing which, all the sages have obtained the supreme perfection. There's a third superlative. So we have supreme wisdom, best of all knowledge, sages have obtained supreme perfection. So we're talking here about the purification of our consciousness from the lower modes of nature into the higher modes of nature. And sometimes we've noticed, different personalities have noticed, that Krishna, sometimes he discusses this, the way the material works, world works in the modes of nature, and other times he's a little bit more outspoken, and he just calls you names. He gives you a name. So those in the mode of goodness, he calls them Brahmins. And those in the or devotees, and those in the modes of passion, ignorance, what's he usually call them? Does anybody know what he calls them? He calls them demons. But it's a little strong sometimes. So he just says, oh, they're the modes of nature. It's a lower mode of nature, passion, ignorance. But so I was thinking, here, Nanda Maharaj, he gave 2 million cows. So cows, Krishna talks a lot about cows. Govinda, Gopal, lives in Goloka. And there's a nice prayer that we say, Namo Brahmanaya Devaya Go Brahmanya Chachachakatraya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So in that verse it mentions the cows and the Brahmins. So I was thinking, what do the cows and the Brahmins have in common? I've asked about 6 or 8 people so far. One person got it right instantly. Boom. Right off the top. Well, 2 people. Sattvaguna. Yeah, right. Everybody. The other one takes care. He works in the garden. Dhammajaya. And he's with cows. So if you're around cows, you can see they're in the mode of goodness. And you can have fun when you're in the mode of goodness with anyone. But if you're in a mode of passion, there's a competition, you gotta be better, and then there's all these other emotions that come in that you can't actually see the person who he is. And in a mode of ignorance, it really gets bad, you know, as far as any kind of relation. So we can see Krishna, well, he's expert, he can have fun with anybody, but specifically he associates with the devotees, and because they know how to have fun. They can, whatever you say to them, they don't take it personally, get upset with you. Anyway, so this divine consciousness, we're going back to divine consciousness. So I thought of a nice verse here that popped into my mind was Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, text 8 and 9. Gives us another hint, because we know right in the beginning Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking, how do you know what are those people in divine consciousness like? What are they, how do they eat? What do they walk? How do they talk? What do they do? So, a little bit more refined here in this chapter. I have a couple more than I think. But this one, it says, a person in divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping, breathing, always knows within himself that actually he does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged in with their objects, and he is aloof from them. Bit mysterious, huh? How that works. So then there's another mysterious verse we'll read, and this is the end of the 14th chapter. We had the beginning of the 14th chapter. I'm going to tie this all together, hopefully. It starts with text 22 and goes to 25, and then it's summarized in 26. And this is also a bit of a mystery until one has some, what do they call that, vigyan, scientific realization of the science of God. That's, I think, text 21. 1-2-21. The Supreme Personality of God had said, O son of Pandu, he does not hate illumination. Okay, you got that? You don't hate illumination? That's a little confusing right from the beginning, right? Attachment and illusion when they're present, nor long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all the reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress. Who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye. Now, you can't do that in your shop there. Someone brings in a piece of dirt and says, this is the same as gold. who's equal towards desirable and undesirable, who's steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, situated equally in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friends and enemies, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended these modes of nature. So this is what we're becoming purified to be able to do. So in the next verse, it mentions something. It is Brahma Bhuya Pakalpate. I think that's close. It says, one who is thus engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So I'm not going to read more, but it goes on like that. So for us, we're learning how this purification process takes place. So when I was thinking practically, we know every day we're constantly becoming contaminated. It says that this, from Prabhupada talking about Hare Krishna, he says the material atmosphere we're now polluted by the material atmosphere. So this atmosphere is polluted, and we're learning how to purify it, which is we're doing this sadhana. So when I was thinking about this sadhana, what is also in that same verse, Namo Brahmanaya Devaya Go Brahmanya Chaja, that devotees, we say that prayer a couple times a day, usually. Depends on what service you have. But one of the times we say that prayer, of course it ends in Namo Namaha. So when I was thinking about purification, of course you think of Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, chanting Hare Krishna, and then giving up the 10 offenses. So of all the things that we do in the process of giving up the 10 offenses, and purification of our life, almost everything begins with the same thing and ends with the same thing. Can anybody think of what I'm referring to? I'm kind of easy because I have the same points I bring up a lot. I think of obeisances. That these obeisances, basically, we're recognizing subordination, submission. If you want to look at one thing that's a difference between the modes of passion and ignorance and the mode of goodness, or pure goodness, is a recognition of the subordination of the living entity. I'm subordinate. In the mode of passion, I think, maybe it'll work. I can try to be happy in this material world by some arrangement of the material nature, and if I'm actually just covered and thrown into a condition of life that one has to be aloof from just to see how miserable it is. But devotees are kind, and they also help us point out that we're suffering all the time. Prabhupada would talk about the surfers and call them sufferers and things like that. So I started to think about how obeisances is our system of purification. We're offering obeisances to recognize, first of all, generally people used to put their head on the floor when they offer obeisances. Sometimes now they just touch it. There's different methods now. It is recommended in Nectar Devotion, there's a certain amount of places that touch the ground. So I was thinking about these obeisances and how this is our process of purification. So every day we get contaminated by the different modes of nature. It's usually not very difficult to conceive of that. Usually as soon as you walk out the door, if you made it that far, as soon as you get outside the door of the temple, the day's activities start downloading into your mind all the things that you have to do. You're a little late, you take the little long talking, and then there's all these different things you have to do. So, and then if you don't do them right, you may be in trouble, and then there's all kinds of things that go on in this world. But then we're not generally so happy. But when we get in the temple, we offer obeisances. And so I was thinking about the obeisances, of some of the things that happen as we offer obeisances. There's a progression that takes place. Pran was helping me with it the other day, and he says the progression of appreciation of the mantra. I notice the mantra always stays the same, but our perception of the mantra changes. So sometimes it says we offer obeisances, and after you offer obeisances for some time, then you may pay obeisances. So I was thinking, how come we have these different words, offering obeisances, paying obeisances? Just an interesting way to put it into your the thinker, you know, think about these things, because devotees are meant to reflect on these points. So I started to write a list, but time was short. And what are some of the things we should think and feel when we offer obeisances, and what are some of the things we shouldn't do when we're offering obeisances? I was hoping to open this up for discussion, because sometimes I talk too long, but this would be a nice discussion. So I was thinking of first thing that should be done with obeisances is you should be conscious. Why not? Krishna consciousness. Because, so one of the things you shouldn't do when you offer obeisances is be unconscious. I know for myself, that's almost a default setting. You have to push almost all the time on consciousness to get it to come up to the level of, that we're expected to be at in the human form of life. Of course, without offering obeisances, it's even questionable if you are in the human form of life. And that's another discussion that Prabhupada has different moods about. If you don't keep your vows, you don't actually do what you said you're going to do, then sometimes he says you're not even human. So just to become this human is conscious. The animals, it's very rare to find one of those that has the ability to offer obeisances. Sometimes I notice that devotees, they keep animals or dogs, and you walk in, and as soon as they see you, they put their hand there, they put their head down. I'm not sure if they're yawning or stretching, but I always return their obeisances, because I figured that I may have woke them up, you know. But you see that a lot, that the animal devotees have. So sometimes, you know, Krishna has them do that. Anyway, so the offering obeisances. So when you're making an offering, and then one of the things that I was noticing is, after you offer obeisances and you start to get some understanding in Krishna consciousness, because this is our transformational time where we're going from passionate ignorance, recognizing them and purifying them in different ways. Here we're seeing all the culture had all these purification processes built in, just like our culture, Krishna conscious culture, the sadhana has so many activities built in to help us do that. So automatically it's being done. But still at the same time, if it's effective, the consciousness is changing. So one of the things that I thought about, what do you pay? When is that required to pay something? Who knows? When is it required to pay something? It's the beginning of the month. Oh, that's one thing. But today's the first. Bills. Okay. You have a debt. You received some service, maybe from the electric company, or maybe from something else, but now you're recognizing, okay, if I don't pay this bill, something, a series of events is going to take place. So the electricity gets turned off, different things happen. So in a while, one recognizes, I am being purified from the modes of passion and ignorance. Now, because we have Shastra Chakshus, where does one go when he's in the modes of passion and ignorance? Krishna explains to us, those who die in these different modes of nature, where do they go? Well, we weren't going to a place where the sun shines. We were going, well, speaking for myself, maybe many of you are great saintly souls, just in case we don't know who's in the class, but I know where I was going. So Srila Prabhupada very kindly has changed my destination. So there's a debt that cannot be repaid, but at least I pay my obeisances. And within those obeisances, what are the other elements that should be included? If you're conscious, see, that was the first one, to be conscious. And we're building consciousness. We're actually building it, and it's not easy. Just like if someone goes to the gym, he knows how hard it is. You have to fight against resistance training, or you have to just work so hard all the time. You're sweating, and then if you stop going for a little while, you just work so hard for months and months, but you stop for like 2 weeks. We know what happens, right? Very quickly, the slide back down. So we find, you talk to people and you say, oh, I haven't seen so-and-so for a while. No, they don't even offer their food anymore. And the default setting in this world very quickly takes you down, and you don't even know it unless a devotee comes and tells you. And then, depending if it's from an offense or inattention, there's different degrees of offenses, you can't even hear anymore. So how fortunate it is that we're here, both with an E-R-E and an E-A-R, that we can hear this Krishna consciousness, to be attentive and submissive, to recognize our subordination to Krishna, and recognize as soon as we don't conscientiously develop this obeisances, which purifies our heart, step by step, very imperceptibly, it takes place that you start losing your consciousness, and you just get covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. Just like here, it's mentioning all these things. They happen automatically. You take a bath in the morning. All I did was sleep. Why am I, you know, I got to take a bath. Okay, you take a bath. You offer your bath. And then, of course, what happens? Then you put, if you put on tilak, there's 12 more obeisances. Then you come to the temple. You offer obeisances when you first come in. Then the curtains open. You offer obeisances. And then there's the samsara prayers. So now we're up to at least like 23 obeisances. And then Hare Haraya, Nama Krishna. Do you sing different songs? Even Lord Chaitanya, he liked that song. Hare Haraya, Namaha, Krishna Yadavaya, Namaha. Add up a bunch more. Then the curtains close, you offer obeisances. Then Lord Nisringadeva prayers, always offering obeisances. Then there's the Jayam prayers. Almost all, what's your position when you're offering, when you're hearing the Jayam prayers? That's glorious obeisances, the jai, glorious obeisances, echoing of the spiritual potency, just coming, bouncing back off the joyous hearts. And then there's Tulsi worship obeisances, both, and then the obeisances to the devotees, Vanchikopa. So you can see almost our whole process is based on this. So what would happen if we became conscious every time we offered obeisances of what we were doing? How that would be a comprehensive, all-inclusive development of our consciousness, because you really, the outside the orders of the spiritual master, where is your life and soul? That's just paraphrased differently. It was said that the spiritual masters, he is our life and soul. His directions are our life and soul. And sometimes you can actually take it literally too, because without the spiritual master, do you know you have a soul? What's it do? What is your life? Sat, Chit, Ananda. Where is all those things? It's all in the obeisances. However, it's difficult. It's just like in that gym. You have to work to stop, slow down a little, because somehow or other there's a timing in obeisances. Everybody gets up. I'm getting a little older now, so it doesn't make so much difference that I'm one of the last ones up. You know, he's old. But when you're younger, you want to try to, you know, like, everybody's getting up, you know, so even though I'm not finished, I'll get up or something. So if you just take the time to start. So what are some of the things we should feel and be aware of when we're offering obeisances? And what are some of the things right now that we feel when we offer obeisances, and how are we going to change those things? So I'll open that up for a discussion to see if anybody, if it's affected any of us, or we're all very anxious to offer those last obeisances and run outside. It's a practical science, you know. And oh, Tron's got his hand up. Oh, is there someone? Yes, Tron, you're right. We always like to hear from you. Thank you.
If you break down the...
It's not... Oh, you're pressing up.
Break down the meaning.
Ooh, nice. He's going to press the button. It's going to come on in just a moment. So you can... for the microphone to work, there's a button you have to press. It's ready now. You can do it.
So, namo... Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur break down, because before that, not so much pranam mantra or big. But it says, na means not, and ma means mine. So, everything that I possess is not mine, is for your pleasure. And what about myself? Myself also not for my own, for your pleasure. So when that consciousness behind my bowing down, then it affects. That is humility. Humility is synonymous to namo.
And of course that's the process of knowledge. The first item of the process of knowledge, 13:8-12, is it? Humility. So, and it says this is how one comes out of the 24 elements, how the bodily conception of life, because in the mode of passion one is very anxious to be, have the satisfaction of being honored by others. Also, it talked about the austerity of the mind here by satisfaction. How do you train the mind? The toughest thing to do to a mind is have it be satisfied. It really confuses. It just, because it's always got something to say that this isn't this. And, but
there's a way. Since you have eight limbs.
Eight?
Shastanga. Astanga. Eight limbs.
Oh, eight.
That touches to the lotus feet of Prabhupada or Krishna, whoever we are paying obeisances.
Oh, when you're offering obeisances, the eight items of obeisances.
Eight items, or limbs. Five parts of the body.
Oh.
Headed by the head, and the eye, the face, the chest, the whole body, the leg. And then the mind. Mind, these are subtle three, has to be touching. Otherwise, it's not full sustenance.
Submission.
Yeah. Nectar of devotion, Prabhupada said, touching, what he translate, paying obeisance with one hand means neglecting to surrender. Ooh, is offense.
Surrender. So maybe we should have a seminar on obeisances, because they spend the whole day, you know, working, doing one thing. So we could spend the whole day just learning, all like they have nam retreats, the holy name, but this is just on learning how to, and at the end, you know, maybe 10 minutes, and then you can refine it down to like 5 minutes, and then you can get it down to like 30 seconds, you know, how to just to do the offering, because even when you take these, you've seen some people, they take all these nice chanting, but unless it's incorporated with their sadhana, here it says every day, I have one nice devotee, Ganga, she's up in Philadelphia now, and when we used to work at the Hare Krishna world, I would be talking about sambandha. This is one of the items of obeisances, sambandha gyan. So of course, who teaches sambandha gyan? It's a spiritual master. You're offering obeisances to a spiritual master, so it's all tied together. So when you offer obeisances, now what you're doing is become purified, abhideya. Here's the activities you do in purification. So where's that going? To Parijana. So she would say, instead of sambandha abhideya, she would say everydaya, every day. So it was kind of cute, you know, that. So the way to remember everydaya, that we have our obeisances, it has sambandha all packed up into nama om. Of course, om, you can expand that to include everything, and that's kind of literal, but that's also another wonderful thing that you can notice. That just a quick one from Kulu Sudra Sampava, from my perspective, is it looks like a three with a little smiley face. So the three there's the me, and there's Krishna, and there's the process of devotional service. So we're offering, in order to be able to see that, Sri Radhikaya Pranaya Mahima, and then there's Balaram, and Lord Nityananda, Srila Prabhupada, how this mercy is getting to us, that we're being able to see this. So we're saying, Nama Om, not me, I'm doing this for you, Om Tat. That's what we're talking about, that sat, Om Tat Sat. Not for me, not for the fruitive, covered condition of the conditioned soul, but for Krishna's happiness, the Om Tat Sat. So, in this way, okay. Was there any other questions or comments? Because, oh yes, come on, thank you.
This
purport
has a lot of beauty.
Oh yeah, boy, I hardly touch anything.
In 1 hour.
Yes, it's 3 more hours. Anybody can cancel the rest of your day, and we're just going to stay here today.
No, it is because our attraction. Now you emphasizing whole class on the paying obeisances. Yeah. To who? Ultimately, who is the object of our paying obeisances? Is Supreme Lord, Parampurush, Radha Krishna combination, Mahaprabhu, like that. Okay. Today you are reading, the Srila Prabhupada is explaining, translating, that in Nanda Utsav or the birthday ceremony taking place, who is paying obeisances to who? Nobody is paying obeisances to Krishna here.
No.
Do you know anybody?
Well,
I never heard.
No.
But everybody, he is paying obeisances to everybody. All the Brahmana is touching his forehead and touching his head, giving him blessing. Mother Yashoda even taking the baby, touching Bhaguri Rishi's feet. Yeah. Oh, please give him the blessing. So Lord Krishna is paying obeisances to.
And then
the Brahmanas and Brajavasi, Nanda Baba is such a, this is called Lokik Sad Bandhubat. Means is a Krishna acting as a family man, not as a Supreme Lord.
Well, sometimes he also says, where does he get all of some wonderful attribute of Krishna. He says, I get it by, I serve all the Brahmins. And you know the verse? It's a little rusty right now, but he says, by taking care of all the Brahmins, this is how I've got my position, you know. So Krishna is always, he's always looking for that service. And in Rajasuya's sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira, what was the service that Krishna picked to do? He washed the feet of all the guests that came. So these are the inside tips, you know. That
you have to go outside Vrindavan to see that.
Oh.
Not in Vrindavan.
Oh, okay. And what does Krishna do in Vrindavan? He's washing the hooves of the cows and the...
Yeah.
Well,
also Nanda Baba, when Durvasarishi came to Vrindavan, he is hearing the conversation of the Absolute Truth, that two boys are arguing and Sri Ram is challenging Krishna. What makes you think you are bigger? You are not bigger. I am little bigger than you. Your father has only 900,000 cows. Prabhupada translated here, 2 million cows he is donating. How do you donate 2 million from 900,000?
Maybe he's out now.
That has to be discussed. It's inconceivable because Duryodhan fall for the trap that he could not understand Vrindavan, Krishna's lila. More you give, more you get over there. So Nanda Baba gave 2 million, but he had a 9. And Durvasa was shocked. He says, your father has 900,000, my father has 1,100,000. So I am more rich than you, Krishna. Durvasa could not stand, he collapsed. He sat down and closed his eye. So like that.
So in this way we're learning a little bit about Krishna and this, the sweetness, our capacity to relish the sweetness of Krishna is actually what grows in our Krishna consciousness. It goes beyond the limits that one can contain. And you see where if it runs into the water element of the body, a certain symptom will come out of the eyes. If it runs into the air, different. So it doesn't have any shelter in this world. It manifests in different ways wherever you think about this ever-increasing capacity. This is what we're learning in Krishna consciousness, is how to increase our capacity to relish existence at every moment. After a while, these material bodies are just not suitable anymore for that. So, yeah, thank you.
In the verse, it said, the soul is purified by what? By austerity or what?
Devotional service. And Prabhupada, he said self-realization or devotional service.
So we understand the soul is ever pure.
Jay thought up in the margin, we're getting uncovered. That there's a reflection there in the mind, that the dust of the heart or dust of the mind is becoming clarified. I think you may have explained it that in the spiritual world, your heart and your mind are the same. In the material world, it gets reflected through a material mind, and it has dust on it. So
it is not, it is the soul that is purified, or it is the mind and
the consciousness. The consciousness and Prandrati. Okay.
God, Bhagavad Gita. When one is connected, one of those five relationships.
Introduction. Yeah.
Unless we act with the relationship. Without relationship, there's no feeling for God. I cry for my son because he is my son, I have a relationship. But if I don't have a relationship, so Prabhupada gave a very first class in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita. He says, one has to revive his dormant love in one of those, and then he gives the list.
And for right now, for this, they're all manifested in our respects to Srila Prabhupada, and everything comes through that. It's actually like a conduit for the Shrut Shakti, the spiritual energy to enter into this material. It's very thickly covered, this universe. Did you ever figure out how many yogins this universe? It's really like a big coconut here. And they're inside here, and there's no way to get out, but it comes in from the out. The Swarup Shakti, the spiritual nature, comes in and contacts us through the spiritual master, and we hold on to his lotus feet with our obeisances, and that draws us right back out. Through that conduit, the whole spiritual nature manifests to us. So that's why they say life and soul. Everything is written in this kind of very interesting like double speak in Krishna consciousness. It says things at every different, the same thing that you've read 20 years ago, you read now, it just keeps opening up more and more, because it's a very interesting science how these, what's communicated in these mantras, they're not like ordinary words, they have supernatural power. Oh, another question?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh,
somebody
does.
One cannot, in any circumstances, understand what the spiritual master is saying. The spiritual master does not communicate what your relationship with the mantra, with the Hare Krishna mantra. What is my relationship when I'm chanting Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare. Why am I chanting? What is the relationship with me and the mantra? Without that, we may chant for thousands of years and we will not get any benefit. Each time I have a wife and I say, this is my wife, this is my wife, this is my wife, without performing activities to show that this is my wife, I mean, you don't have any relationship. So in the same way, when we have the mantras and then we don't actually know the meanings and know the Easter day of the mantras, we may be chanting and chanting, but the relationship is not there. And this is what I think.
Thank you so much. So if you chant without the sambandha jnana, the relationship isn't there. So, of course, who's the...
You get security,
yeah.
Your advancement.
This is inside secrets for those who are sincere, Krishna. He enthuses everybody at all different rungs, but he gives you special things. We should. And thank you. All glories of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. See if you can offer obeisance.